Holy Eucharist, Rite 2, begins on page 355 in the Book of Common Prayer. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, the fountain of all wisdom, you know our necessities before we ask and our ignorance in asking. Have compassion on our weakness and mercifully give us those things which for our unworthiness we dare not, and for our blindness we cannot ask. Through the worthiness of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from the second book of Samuel. When David, the king, was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them, so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more. And evildoers shall afflict them no more, as formerly from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish a throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. The word of the Lord. The psalm is read in unison. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. My hand will hold him fast, and my arm will make him strong. No enemy shall deceive him, nor any wicked man bring him down. I will crush his foes before him and strike down those who hate him. My faithfulness and love shall be with him, and he shall be victorious through my name. I shall make his dominion extend from the great sea to the river. He will say to me, "You are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation." I will make him my firstborn and higher kings of the earth. I will keep my love for him forever, and my covenant will stand firm for him. I will establish his line forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and do not walk according to my judgments, if they break my statutes and do not keep my commandments, I will punish their transgressions with a rod and their iniquities over them. But I will not take my love from him, nor let my faithfulness prove false. I will not break my covenant, nor change what has gone out of my lips. Once for all, I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His line shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall stand fast forevermore like the moon, the abiding witness in the sky.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. Remember that at one time, you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision, by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in the Spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourself and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As they went ashore, they saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to a land at Gennesaret and moored their boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went into the villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplace and begged him that he might touch, that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
My family and I have missed this place, and we have missed all of you so much during our time at seminary in Tennessee. Your kind and gracious financial support have frankly helped us keep food on the table while I've been in school. But more than that, your spiritual presence in our lives, your prayers, your friendship, your continued guidance, and all the other ways you support us have meant so much to us. I'd only ask that you keep it coming. This year is bound to be as challenging, as rich, and as wonderful as the last two. And so your prayers, your friendship, your love, we continue to be in desperate need. We love you all, and we feel blessed to call this place home. So thank you. There is a kind of isolation that is good and holy and actually necessary if we're going to function as healthy people in this world. Jesus is well aware of this fact in this morning's gospel. He has sent the disciples across the Judean countryside to heal and to preach the gospel. And what's more, he's told them, take nothing on your trip. No bag, no money, no food, not even extra clothing, nothing. It's been a long, hard mission for the disciples. And Jesus recognizes in them a need to step away, a need to be alone. Come away to a deserted place and rest a while. He commands them. every bit as forcefully as he commanded them to go on mission in the first place. Jesus knows what it takes most of us years to learn. You cannot go constantly. We cannot provide constant connection, constant conversation, or constant entertainment to other people. We have to have time to reflect on what's gone before. We have to have time to pray and to think about what we might do next. Without this kind of time away, even the most extroverted among us are bound to burnout. This sort of isolation is rooted in a deep love for other people, not a desire to escape other people. We know, and Jesus knows, that there is great value to be gained from spending time alone, from retreating from time to time to a deserted place. I kind of assume that this is the reason for the location of my seminary in rural Tennessee. I just don't understand any other reason that you would build something an hour away from a Starbucks. But this good and holy isolation that brings us rest and recovery isn't the only kind of separation out there. At some points, this shadow side of isolation shows up in individuals. In order to escape a difficult person, a difficult situation, or a very necessary confrontation, we retreat into a poisonous, lonely isolation. Often this retreat is made to protect that which is most dear to us at the expense of remaining in relationship with other people. I think of Tolkien's Gollum as an example of just such a retreat. The creature is driven mad by his desire to retain ownership of the Ring of Power, his precious. And he escapes into his cave simply to avoid any chance that he might lose that which he treasures most. As bad and disturbing as this individual attempt to escape all others is, the evil that we are capable of when this drive toward isolation shows up corporately is even more disturbing. Some of the horrors of human history have happened as one group has tried desperately to push away another group. And we need only to look back over the last couple of centuries to see stark, brutal examples. Apartheid in South Africa, the Nazi concentration camps, the Jim Crow South, all attempts of one group trying to maintain a distance, maintain an isolation and a dominance over another group at all costs. We develop labels that help us demonize the other. We assign evil attributes to the group. We find ways to assume the worst about the other. In the last few days, I've heard political pundits on both sides of the aisle attempt to claim Thursday night's shooter as a member of the other side, as though human brutality is the property of only one kind of political ideology. The church in Ephesus was clearly dealing with this impulse to break into various factions, each isolating itself from the other. The theme of the book, if we were to boil it down into a very simple phrase, might be, "Christians, get along." Or there's a retired professor at my school who likes to say it like this in a nasally southern drawl, "You're Christians, act like it." I don't know what language "act" is from, but it's one of his favorite words. The problem for the Ephesians is one that was common in the early church. In what way are Gentile Christians and Jewish Christians supposed to relate to one another? Should the Gentiles have to convert to Judaism before they could be full members of the Christian community? Should there be some sort of two-tiered community, with one being more favored than the other? If not, where are they supposed to find a connection, a sense of unity? The response they receive in this morning's epistle is as forceful as it is beautiful. Christ. What has been accomplished through Christ on the cross is the only place that unity can start for the Ephesians. The language is visceral, for he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall. That is the hostility between us. The walls that the Ephesians have been desperately at work to rebuild have been, in reality, obliterated by the cross. Where they have attempted to continue to see two people, they are called back to the center around which their community must swirl. Jesus, the one who came to preach peace to those who are far off and to those who are near. Of course, the Ephesians were not the first, nor the last, who assumed that life would be easier if those walls of separation could just be maintained. And it's not just the major evils of the last few centuries that show us our love of those walls. I think if we look carefully, we might find those walls being built a little closer to home. I think one of the most obvious signs that we are at work building walls has to do with something we share with our Ephesian ancestors, our love of labels. For the Ephesians, it was the circumcision and the uncircumcision, labels meant to drive a wedge between those whom God had joined together. But for us, it's those liberals, or those conservatives, those traditionalists, or those revisionists, those heretics, those fundamentalists. We use labels in such a way that our emphasis becomes the thing against which we are reacting rather than the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am not saying that we shouldn't have conviction that from time to time lead us into conflict with our sisters and our brothers. Sometimes that is exactly the sort of conviction we should have. What I am saying is that when our convictions lead us to stop seeing them as sisters and brothers, we are attempting to build a new wall of hostility. I say we're attempting to build a new wall, because the reality is, no such wall can ever stand. It is to my shame that I know almost nothing about construction. My last attempt at construction actually ended up with one of the youth of this cathedral in the emergency room. But that's a story for another time. But I do have one thing that I understand about construction. That is that a wall is only as good as the foundation upon which it is built. The Empire State Building can only reach its staggering height because its foundation runs some 60 feet below the structure. The walls that we build on top of our prejudices, our pet issues, and our labels have a foundation without depth. They cannot stand against the power of the reconciliation wrought between us and God and between us and our neighbor by Jesus on the cross. Jesus is the only foundation upon which the church can stand. The good news of salvation, which he preaches to all, both those far off and those near, is the only message we have. The new life that he has given us, life together, life in relationship, the precious and messy life of a community, is the only life we have. The hymn we sang at the beginning of this service sums it up. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. There's an amazing phrase in today's epistle. In Christ's flesh, he has made both groups into one. In a few moments, we will come to this altar to partake of Christ's flesh, not as various factions, not as members of a party, theological, political, or otherwise, not as those who need to gain power over one another, but as those whom Christ loves, those who have been brought near to God through nothing but Christ, and those who have been made one in Christ's flesh. And it's as we come to this altar as one, so we go forth from this place as one. One in love of God, one in our redemption through Jesus Christ, and one in mission by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us stand and reaffirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed on page 358. We believe in one God,
the Almighty,
the maker of heaven and earth,
all that is seen and unseen.
We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ,
the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being of the Father. Through him all things were made. For us,
especially for the people of Aurora, Colorado. Lord, in your mercy.
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others.
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with
you. All right, settle down, settle down. You all really do believe social hour is now. It's great. Welcome. Welcome to you all. You have me again today. I'm sorry. Kate is working her way back. For those of you who have missed her, she'll be back Tuesday into the office, and she'll be back here on Sunday to preach. Newcomers. Anyone new, please raise your hand for me, please. Anyone? There's the former senior warden is new. The St. John's people next to those people, hold them up high for a minute, please. St. John's people next to our visitors, will you please introduce yourself and then direct them and help them to get to coffee hour, please. If you are new, please fill out a card and put it in the collection plate and make yourself known to us. And also, please go to the font afterwards and we'll have a gift bag for you. The font is in the rear of the church where those folks are standing right now. We want to thank all of you who helped with Family Promise this past week. It was a wonderful experience for those of you who participated in cooking meals and helping with the accommodations here and donating food and money to the effort, and we do thank you very much. It was a tremendous success, and we will continue this program as we move forward. It is very much a blessing to us as well as to the folks who participate. Now, Monica has put something on here that I don't understand, but that's okay. We'll get through this. The summer fun downtown, okay, aka Vacation Bible School, is coming up on August 6th through the 10th, and the registration forms are in the back of the church, and there are more details in the bulletin, if you can find a bulletin. The bulletins, I think, do we have the bulletins in the back there, guys? We do. Okay, great. Thank you. By the way, Quinn, thank you very much. Wonderful. Now ascribe to the Lord gifts and honor due his name.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, for you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to a new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself, and when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood in the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, and this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace, and at the last day bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. You have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God fill you with courage, wisdom, and joy. May Jesus Christ, your strong companion and your never-failing friend, make you strong in faith and defend you on every side. May the Holy Spirit guide you in truth and peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Creator, Redeemer, and sustainer of life, rest upon you this day and evermore.
Amen.